You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard will be back on the air with me tomorrow. This month, the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters announced their selection for the state's 2015-2016 Poet Laureate, a position tasked with the mission and responsibility to contribute to the growth of poetry around the state. We'll be joined by the state's new Poet Laureate in just a few minutes. First, we'll welcome in Max Garland, who served as Poet Laureate over the last 2 years. He's a professor of English literature at UW-Eau Claire. Max, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us what it meant to you personally to serve as the state's Poet Laureate.
Well, it was an unlikely honor for someone who grew up far away from here. But what it meant to me was a chance to get to know the state in a way I never would have, and I hadn't in my previous 23 years here, to meet many thousands of people and to sort of be reassured in spite of not great support from the top down in our state for the arts, that the arts are welling up sort of unstoppably from people of all ages throughout the state.
So as you look back on your time as Poet Laureate, what were some of the high points? What are you proud of? What do you think you accomplished?
I'm proud of the people of the state of Wisconsin who I think understand, as people everywhere understand, I hope, that language has more capacity for carrying meaning than we usually give it credit for, and that although we're inundated by sound bites and images that are constructed to sell us or make us fear or want something, that there is still a capacity in language for carrying truth and beauty and meaning and imagination. And I think I'm sort of just proud of learning that and being reassured myself for that.
So are we a state of hidden poets? Are there more of us than we know?
There are many more of us than we know. I'm not sure that that's not true everywhere. But there's poetry stashed on the hard drives and in the files and in the coat pockets of people who you never would imagine. And there's poetry, even those people, you know, millions of us, as this new year began, who don't even think of ourselves as being involved with poetry. At the stroke of midnight, we're singing, perhaps somewhat groggily, but we're singing the words of a poem written by a Scottish poet, you know, a couple of centuries ago. And so it comes into our lives, although we might not always recognize it as such.
Now, can you tell us some favorite memories of people you've met along your laureate duties?
Well, there are thousands of them. So I'll just try to, off the top of my head, about an 11 or 12-year-old girl in Delafield whose poem had won a prize, and she got up before I read there at the library at Delafield and read her poem with such audacity and pride that I felt like, well, poetry is going to be in good hands in the future if she stays at it. Then there was, I think, near Baraboo. And this is interesting. You asked me about people. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk about a man mound. One night this year after reading in Baraboo, I visited the 214-by-48-foot man mound, the largest effigy mound in Wisconsin and the only human-shaped effigy mound. And a man named Rob Murray was there and helped explain about the mound to me. And I think driving back from that visit, that's a work of art constructed by people 1,000 years ago in this state who left something behind with some sort of message about our connection to the earth and our interdependence upon it. And so I guess my favorite artistic experience was actually visiting Man Mound, which had a meaning for me that I still haven't quite learned to articulate.
Well, you did articulate it some with us previously on the show, how the Wisconsin landscape can inspire poetry. Do we get unique poetry in Wisconsin because of the land around us?
I think the two greatest human inheritances are really the land itself. Every molecule, every atom in us is from there. And I think that there is a unique landscape here. There's shoreline, there's hills, there's plains, there's the remnants of prairie. And I think what we learn is that we can't continually take from that land more than we give back to it. And I think the second greatest inheritance we have is language. And again, what poetry for me does is help use language at its fullest potential. Often it's used for purposes that are meant to be transient, ephemeral, but it still has that capacity, this language that we've inherited from so far back in time we can no longer trace it, still has the capacity to transmit beauty and meaning.
Now, you mentioned a few moments ago what you see as a lack of support from the state for poetry, for arts in general. And this poet laureate position used to be one, I understand, supported by the state. Funding was cut. Now the Wisconsin Academy picked up responsibility and support for it. Having served in this position, can you make the case that it's one worth supporting, maybe worth the state playing a role in again?
I appreciate the support of the Wisconsin Academy and all of the nonprofit organizations and all of the people who contributed. That's one of the reasons I liked being poet laureate. I think a lot of people didn't understand that the state had pulled back its support upon the arts to such a drastic degree. And I think I've talked about this before, but it's that balance between the economic and the other more overt cultural values in this state and the inside of our lives, the way that we live, the way we think, what we feel, who we know ourselves to be, that still is necessary for a culture to thrive and survive and be healthy. And that is the job of poetry. And I think if we don't support that, we're really cheating the children, adults, and elders of our state.
Well, Max, before we let you go, can you leave us with a brief poem?
It's supposed to be the exact temperature in this poem that I'm looking at 5 a.m. in the morning here in Eau Claire tomorrow. So I think I'll just read this in anticipation for tomorrow morning. It's called Joy. Just to know how it felt, I stood under the red pine. It was 10 below, and the sun was not quite up, and the moon not quite down. And the air so cold, you couldn't call it cold anymore, but sort of comical on the intake. And the lungs were like, are you serious? The small three-pronged tracks in the snow belonged to creatures no longer of this earth. The paw prints as well were the only traces of what we once called rabbits when such things bounded from the shrubberies. And the light, which began to climb over the rim of a horizon, appeared stunned like ancestors in old photographs seem stunned. You look at them in their suspenders and bonnets and the austerity of their faces as if they knew, even then, in the minutes wait for the shutter to close, they were goners. As if they knew the reason for the picture was time without pity. So I stood under the red pine, took a few more breaths from deep in the glacial instant of my one and only life, which hurt a little, like joy, by which I mean the edge of joy, where it sharpens itself for the work it has to do.
Max, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's former Wisconsin Poet Laureate Max Garland. He's a professor of English literature at UW-Eau Claire. Just a minute, we'll meet the state's new Poet Laureate, Kimberly Blazer. She's at UW-Milwaukee, and she'll join us in a few. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Should poetry play a bigger role in our lives here in Wisconsin? How big a role does it play in your life? 800-642-1234. We are in the midst of the passing of a poetical torch here in Wisconsin. We just heard from the outgoing poet laureate of the state, Max Garland. Now the new poet laureate, Kimberly Blazer, joins us. She's a professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. You can join in quick if you've got a question or thoughts on the role of poetry today. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Kimberly Blazer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're a poet. We'll have you put some feelings into words. What does this appointment mean to you personally?
Personally, I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity to work with the poets in the state of Wisconsin and to try to encourage the growth of poetry in public spaces and perhaps even the growth of funding for the arts in Wisconsin.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your work as a poet yourself?
Certainly. So I am a poet who has three books of poetry. I write, I guess, rather eclectic work. There's a wide range of subjects that I cover in my work. I'm also somewhat eclectic in my reading. So poems may focus a lot on the natural world. They may focus on family, on the experience of Native people. And also, I think sometimes of my poetry as being out of an ecstatic tradition where they're interested in spirit.
And you're also working on a project, I understand, that features picto poems. What's that?
That is an exciting thing that I've been engaged in for some time. I have for many years been amateur wildlife and nature photographer. And a lot of times I thought that those moments of encounter in the natural world that inspired me with photography were of the same quality of as those that inspired my poetry. And I thought of them as, almost as like these kind of haiku moments. And I often wanted to pair the two. So I began by simply putting poems and photographs together. And that wasn't quite what I really ultimately wanted. So the more technology I learned, the more I tried to bring the two together and to use layers so that as the images and maybe sometimes multiple images and layers of language and language arranged in different spaces on the photograph would come into contact with one another in a way that would maybe spark something that neither would of their own. And I want to achieve something that will sort of invite the reader, listener into the piece so that it is finally, ultimately achieved only in their interaction with bringing those items together.
Now, speaking of different spaces, I understand one of your goals as poet laureate is to try to bring poetry into public places that we usually don't think of as poetry sites.
That is true. I talked a couple of times to people about my idea of, for example, bringing poetry to sushi places where you can put the lines of a haiku on the sushi boats. You put one line on, it goes around, somebody takes it off, they add a line. And so you can get people participating in poetry as in a public space like that where it's engaging and there's no pressure. I also, because I love to be in wild spaces, to be among the natural world, I thought it would be wonderful to bring poetry to places like the Horicon Marsh or to harvest festivals, all kinds of unusual spaces.
And getting people to participate, how do you spark an interest in not just reading or hearing poetry in people, but in getting maybe the poetry averse to try writing?
Well, I think that people might, in their hearts, have this sort of poet that they put in the closet. And so I think part of it is to get them to become less fearful, because poetry has kind of gotten a bad rap in our country, and it's thought of as a sort of staid quality about it and inaccessible to people, when in fact it comes to us originally from oral songs and ceremonies and so on, that, you know, and recitations of poetry. So I think if we invite people back into that safe, vital space of poetry, it might begin to engage them in ways. And I think also that if you think about young children who, you know, they have less resistance to the arts in general, but to poetry. If you go into a little classroom and ask the children to help you write haiku, they are just bursting with ideas and really interesting, unusual ways of seeing the world. And I think that is really at the heart of poetry, is how we can look more closely at what's around us and see it in new ways. And anybody is able to do that.
When do we lose that? Why do we lose that willingness to create as a kid and not worry about looking dumb, I guess?
I think there are too many rules. There's too many rules in everything we do, so we just have to, you know, push those aside a little bit.
The meter, it just doesn't add up right. The syllables don't, or that sort of thing. That keeps us back?
Right. So I think it's, you know, part of it is that, indeed, sometimes when we think about formal poetry, people are afraid of, you know, scansion and how do I count the meter and how many feet and so on. But it's not even just that. It's that I think Max said this prior, Max Garland, is he said it's thought to be something for the experts. And it's really not. It's something that if you travel around the world, you find that poetry is much more a popular or populist activity in some other countries than it is in the U.S. Although I have to say that poetry slams, poetry out loud competitions in the schools are beginning to sort of reawaken what I think is just a lost art. So we just have to come back to that.
There was a phrase I saw, I can't remember exactly, you want to see us become a state of poetry nerds?
I did say something like that. I said that I think we need permission to be the shining poetry nerds that we long to be.
That's so. Are you looking forward to meeting a lot of poetry fans, or maybe people who don't know they're poetry fans yet, as you do your poet laureate thing?
I am. I'm really excited about going into different places. And one thing I just want to say about that, you know, people who may be poetry nerds already. One thing I find is that older people still have this bank of poems that they memorized as children, and with the smallest bit of encouragement, it comes right back, and there they are reciting to you Wordsworth or whatever. So I'd like to encourage another whole generation to memorize poems, to recite poems, and to have that bank of image and ideas that they can draw on for their whole life.
Speaking of reciting poems, do you have something you could read for us now?
Sure. So this is a poem that comes out of a spring a few years back when we had very wet, a wet spring. It's called Again the Night. I wake and listen, and through my open window hear the steady baying of dogs. Dark minutes I puzzle over their hunt before turning to my own. Tomorrow, in daylight, I may find the songs rise from a multitude of frogs croaking in the flooded wetlands. But at night, I arise from my sleep in a different land. Don't we all? Sometimes I hear my father's old songs and the clink of glasses as my mother tidies the kitchen. Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes, I'll never love blue eyes again. She drapes the cotton towel over the metal bar. What sound does that make in my memory? Reality lies just down the hall, my daughter's muffled CD player and the tinkle of wind chimes. Still, these never change my midnight creed. I believe in baying frogs, in the songs of all lost fathers. Packaged like dreams, the cleft in time, or parallel lives, some misty mornings my mind forgets which world it inhabits. Perhaps I feel a tiny body heavy across my chest. Baby, dog, stuffed bear, wait. With eyes closed, it could be any year. Yes, believe, we sleep beneath infinity.
Well, thank you for reading that. You know, it occurs to me that some of my failed efforts to get into poetry over the years are because I'm letting it be seen and not heard. You know, I just read the poem. It seems like a lot more engaging sometimes to hear it.
Absolutely. I think it is engaging to hear it. And I encourage students also, or writers of poetry, to read their poems to themselves as they write them, because much of the play is music.
Well, I hope we can talk to you again over your term as Poet Laureate. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That's Kimberly Blaser. She's a professor of English at UW-Milwaukee, where she teaches creative writing and Native American literature. She was just appointed the Wisconsin Poet Laureate for the next 2 years. Before that, we heard from Max Garland of UW-Eau Claire. He was the previous Poet Laureate of Wisconsin. Well, still time for you to contribute over at the Central Time Facebook page. Were you inspired by these two poet laureates to maybe give poetry another chance if you haven't been into it lately? Or are you one of the shining poetry nerds, I think was the phrase? Do you love poetry? Reading it, hearing it, maybe writing it? Tell us about it over at the Central Time Facebook page. Looking forward to hear what you have to say.